Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to the Frequency of the Past, your one-stop shop for mystery, suspense, thriller, pulp hero, audio dramas, audio books, and more. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to reach out the usual ways. All those links can be found in the description. And also, if you could take the time to please follow, review, and rate. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And a big thank you to those who already do. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
The Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunn as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in a gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star. It's the Irene Dunn, Fred McMurray Show, starring Irene Dunn as Susan Armstrong, owner and editor of the Hillsdale Morning Star, and Fred McMurray as George Harvey, the paper's ace reporter. And in the town of Hillsdale this evening, all is exceptionally calm and quiet. Even George Harvey, and that is exceptional.
Beautiful moon tonight, George.
Yeah.
There's something about a full moon, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so... George, are you listening to me at all?
Hmm? Oh, sure, Susan, of course.
No, you haven't said a word for 10 minutes. You keep looking around, like you were on the trail of a criminal or something.
Funny you should say that. Susan, this may come as a big surprise to you, but Hillsdale is in the midst of a serious crime wave.
Crime wave?
A serious crime wave led by the mysterious and dangerous society burglar and his gang.
And you're on the lookout to catch him?
Well, I'm keeping my eyes open, yes.
Oh, George, just because there have been a few burglaries in town and you build it up in the papers, the work of a society bandit's no reason to keep... What's the matter?
Over there, in those bushes. I saw something move.
You sure?
You stay here, Susan. I'm going after him. Probably the society burglar.
Oh, don't be foolish, George. He may have a gun or a blackjack.
I'll take him by surprise.
George Harvey, come back here.
I've got nothing to worry about. All crooks are cowards. Everyone knows that. I just hope he knows it. Well, here goes. All right, give up. My men have got you surrounded. Give up before I can...
Get off my back.
Sammy! You?
Sure.
What are you doing here?
Don't shoot, Mr. Harvey. I'll go quietly.
Are you all right, George? Did he get... Sammy!
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Oh, well, I take it you're not the society burglar, Sammy.
It was a perfectly natural mistake, Susan.
You see, Miss Armstrong, Mr. Harvey, I was watching my girl's house. She lives right over there. It's pretty embarrassing.
Is there any particular reason for watching her house, Sammy?
I suspect her of being unfaithful.
Surely. You're spying on her?
Oh, I trust her implicitly, until proven otherwise. Now, that's what I'm here for, to prove otherwise.
Well, just don't stay up late, Sammy. Come on, George, come on. Let's look for some more bandits.
I resent your tone, Susan.
Thanks for capturing me, Mr. Harvey. I was getting bored.
No, any time, Sammy. Any time.
The society burglar.
Well, it could have been.
Except that it was Sammy.
That's the dangerous thing about this type of criminal, Susan. He might be anyone. Walking the streets of the city, a respected citizen, and only turning to crime at night.
You know, he sounds interesting.
Now, let's not start defending crime, Susan.
But you said yourself it just might be someone I know.
You don't know him, Susan. You're not shielding him.
George, you've guessed my guilty secret.
This isn't a joking matter, Susan. If you have information, it's your duty to give it to the police.
Even if I'm interested in it?
Susan! No. No, I refuse to be drawn into a discussion of this nature. I know that you're not serious, Susan. You couldn't be.
Well, of course not. Well,
naturally, I knew it all along. Well, shall we consider the matter closed?
Yes.
Good.
George.
Hmm?
You don't think there's any danger of the police capturing him, do you?
Susan!
Good morning, patient.
Good morning, Miss Susan. I heard you and Mr. Harvey come home last night. He sounded a little bothered about something.
Oh, well, I'm afraid that was my fault, patient. I was leading George on, pretending to have a secret romance with a society burglar.
Well, that's one way of getting a mink coat.
Oh, well, I'll apologize to George when I go down to paper this morning.
Why apologize? Let him suffer a while. A little mysterious competition never hurt any man.
No, I don't think I could keep it up, patient.
Just an idea, Miss Susan.
No, he'll have forgotten all about it anyway by this morning.
I guess you're right.
When I walk into the office, he'll be his old complacent self, grinning at me with that self-satisfied look of his. Sometimes he irritates me so. He can be so smug. Patience. You're right. I'll do it. He deserves to suffer.
Mr. Harvey.
Yes, Sammy?
Don't expect too much out of me today.
Your spy activities kept you up late, I take it.
Yeah, but it turned out very well.
You found out your girl wasn't too timing it.
No, she definitely was. I accused her of it, and she was so happy to find out I was jealous that we had a very tender reconciliation. Feminine psychology.
Yes.
Anytime you want me to check up on Miss Armstrong, I'll be glad to offer my services.
Well, that's big of you, Sammy, but I hardly think there's any need. Miss Armstrong has no other romantic interest.
She's a woman, isn't she? And where there's smoke, there's fire.
Come to think of it, Sammy, last night we were talking about...
Morning, George.
Oh.
How are you, Sammy?
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
And how are you this morning, Susan?
Oh, I feel just fine, George.
Good.
Anything new on the society burglar this morning?
Not a thing, Miss Armstrong. I guess he took the night off last night.
Well, I don't know that I'd say that. I mean...
You wouldn't say what, Susan?
Nothing, George. Nothing.
Nothing? Susan, you just can't toss off statements like that and then pass them off as nothing. I demand to know what you mean.
I told you, George, nothing at all.
Susan, you didn't meet this Raffles.
Meet him? How could I?
Well, how should I know? But if you think for one minute I'm going to sit back and...
You said yourself, George, I couldn't possibly be involved with such a character.
But I...
And you're never wrong, are you?
Well, no, but...
So there's nothing at all to worry about. I'll be in my office, Sammy.
Sure, Miss Armstrong.
What do you think, Sammy?
Where there's smoke, there's fire, Mr. Harvey.
Sammy, how much would you charge for just keeping an eye on Miss Armstrong?
Oh, I couldn't do it myself, Mr. Harvey. She'd spot me.
That's true, true.
And neither could my girlfriend, Shirley. Miss Armstrong knows her.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend has a girlfriend, and she could report back to Shirley, and Shirley would report back to me. Then I'd report to you.
You know best, Sammy, but why can't your girlfriend's girlfriend report directly to you?
Shirley wouldn't trust either one of us.
It's a pretty grim situation, isn't it, Sammy? This battle of the sexes.
It's a jungle, Mr. Harvey. But don't worry. I'll guide you safely through.
Somehow I'd be much happier with Sabu. Susan, before we go another step, I demand to know.
Know what, George?
Don't play the innocent, Susan. I've been asking you all evening. Are you or are you not getting yourself involved with a crook?
George, you mean you've turned to a life of crime?
I'm not talking about myself, and you know it.
Some other crook?
Yes. No. I demand to know, Susan, for your own good, are you or are you not...
Oh, look. We're right outside Young's jewelry store. Don't they have the most beautiful display of rings you've ever seen, George?
I'm not the slightest bit interested in rings, Susan.
That's hardly a news item.
I'll ignore that. Susan, I have the right to an answer, and if you persist in sidestepping the question...
Oh. Excuse me. I guess I wasn't looking where I was... Oh! Excuse me!
What got into her?
Don't try to change the subject, Susan.
I wasn't, George. All I said was...
For your own good, Susan, I demand an answer. Are you or are you
no.
not... What?
I said no. Satisfied?
Well, yes. I guess so.
Good. And if I hear so much as another word on this subject, George Harvey...
Susan, the whole episode is closed. Completely. You have my word on it.
Hello?
Shirley? Imogene. Oh, Shirley, wait till you're here. I saw her. With him.
Oh.
Miss Armstrong. You know, I told you I knew her, but she doesn't know me. Well, she was with him, Shirley.
Imogene? Not the society burglar.
Oh, it must have been. Dark, swarthy. Definitely the criminal type. Definitely.
Well, what were they doing?
Arguing. Outside a jewelry store. I think she was pleading with him not to rob it.
Oh, how absolutely fascinating.
Maybe we shouldn't tell anybody.
I agree. Absolutely. Oh, hang up, Imogene. I want to call Sammy.
Sammy. She saw him, Sammy. Imogene saw him, the society burglar.
Shirley, with Miss Armstrong?
He was dressed in evening clothes, but his face betrayed him. The criminal type.
What were they doing?
He was robbing a jewelry store. And, well, I don't like to say this about Miss Armstrong, Sammy, but she must have been acting as his lookout.
I don't believe it.
We have to give her the best.
So, Shirley. Oh, poor Mr. Harvey. When I tell him about it in the morning.
Good morning, Sammy. How's the world's youngest cynic?
You better sit down, Mr. Harvey.
Why? Oh, by the way, Sammy, I believe I might have mentioned something about wanting to keep an eye on Miss Armstrong.
You sure did, Mr. Harvey.
Well, forget the whole thing, Sammy. It was just a misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding?
Yes, we straightened it all out last night.
What time last night?
Well, fairly early. As a matter of fact, I was home and in bed by 11. Early to bed, you know, Sammy, makes a man healthy, wealthy,
and... I hate to do this to you.
Do what to me?
But it's my duty. For the community.
What's your duty?
Mr. Harvey, Miss Armstrong was seen last night by my operatives. With him.
Him? Who?
The society burglar.
Oh, but that's impossible. I was out with Miss Armstrong last night.
Mr. Harvey, didn't you ever hear of a late date?
Yeah. Sammy, I refuse to believe any of this. Don't even tell me about it. Where were they?
He was seen emerging from a jewelry store.
Jewelry store?
Dressed in white tie and tails and dripping with stolen diamonds.
What was Miss Armstrong doing?
I can't tell you, Mr. Harvey. I don't believe it myself.
Sammy, I'm sure this is all a mistake, and when Miss Armstrong comes in, she'll clear it up in a minute.
Sure she will, Mr. Harvey.
We've got to believe in her, Sammy. But on the other hand...
Here comes Miss Armstrong, Mr. Harvey.
I'll handle this, Sammy. Good morning, Susan.
Oh, hello, George. Sammy. Wonderful morning.
Wonderful morning. I wonder what she meant by that.
What'd you say, George?
Have a good night's rest, Susan?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't sleep too well.
Uh-huh.
What's the uh-huh for?
Susan, think this over very carefully before you answer. You didn't have a date last night.
Well, you could call it a date, yes.
Uh-huh. With whom?
Uh-huh. You.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
Well, I gotta go to the composing room.
You stay right here, Sammy.
You wouldn't care to tell me what this is all about, George.
Susan, for your own good, I demand an answer. Were you or were you not?
Oh, no, not that again.
Don't spare my feelings, Susan. This is bigger than both of us. I'll be much happier if you tell me the truth.
You're sure?
Positive. Last night, did you or did you not?
Of course. I had a late date with the society burglar, and we held up a jewelry store.
No.
Yes, and now if you'll excuse me, I have to melt down some hot wedding rings.
Are you happy, Mr. Harvey?
Happy, Sam? I don't think I'll ever be happy again. Ever.
back to our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, and the second act of our story. Irene, as Susan Armstrong, is currently in the throes of a misunderstanding with Fred as George Harvey. This, however, has happened before. Matter of fact, it happens every week.
I just can't understand it, Patience.
Understand what, Miss Susan?
It's unreasoning jealousy on George's part. He's accusing me of all sorts of wild things.
Who started it?
I did.
Uh-huh.
But I've told him time after time that there wasn't any truth in it. I've told him I don't know any society burglar. He refuses to believe me. It's inexcusable.
Well, give him another chance, Miss Susan. Go out with him tonight and get things all straightened out.
We had them all straightened out last night.
George is a difficult case.
Well...
Good. And if you have any trouble with this assault, just send for me.
Send for you?
I've got a date with Patrolman Mullins.
Well, it's nice to know you'll be safe, Patience.
Completely safe. There are times when I'd rather be out with a burglar.
Give her another chance, Mr. Harvey.
Never. You really think I should, Sammy?
Any woman is entitled to one slip, Mr. Harvey. Anyway, I can't really believe it of Miss Armstrong.
I can't either. But what about your operatives?
Oh, they're only human. And on top of that, they're women. It's a bad combination.
Well?
Go to her, Mr. Harvey. Go to her. Or face the future years of emptiness and regret.
One more chance, huh?
One more chance. I have complete confidence in Miss Armstrong.
So have I, Stanley. So have I.
But just in case, Mr. Harvey, I'll have my operatives on the job.
Excellent idea, Sammy. Just in case. Like old times, huh, Susan?
Like old times, George. Double feature, after theater snack at Hamburger Heaven.
You sure you wouldn't go for another hamburger?
Oh, no, no. I'm completely filled, George.
Well, the sky's the limit, you know. Nothing small time about George Harvey.
Our reconciliation banquet.
Yeah. Susan, you're completely sure that
you
never...
Oh, now, George, I couldn't go through that again. I've never met the society burglar. Want me to sign my name in blood?
Well, ketchup will do. It's handier.
If we're going to start this all over again, George...
I believe you, Susan. I believe you implicitly. Well, shall we go?
All right. But you can't get these insanely jealous ideas out of your head.
Jealous? Me? Absurd.
Then we'll consider the subject closed.
Once and for all. And if I ever so much as...
Excuse me. Oh,
that girl. Have we seen her somewhere before?
The girl, Oh, I didn't notice. Anyway, Susan, if I ever open up this subject again, you can...
Shoot you?
Yes, you can shoot me.
There are certain times, George, when it would almost be a pleasure.
Shirley? Imogene. I saw them, Shirley, again.
Oh, Imogene. You mean Miss Armstrong and the society burglar?
Not half an hour ago.
Oh, Imogene. He wasn't holding up another jury.
He was spending his ill-gotten gains on Miss Armstrong.
No.
I saw them emerging from a swank eating place, and they seemed extremely... I use a charitable word, Shirley... Extremely friendly.
Oh, an intrigue. Developing right before our very eyes. Oh, hang up, Imogene. I have to call Sammy.
Hello?
Mr. Harvey? Sammy?
Look, Sammy, I don't know what time it is, but I was just nicely asleep.
My operative couldn't use the phone, Mr. Harvey. She had to wait till her family got to bed.
Why?
A confidential report, Mr. Harvey. Miss Armstrong was seen again with him.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I took Susan home early this evening and...
the smartest nightclub in the city after dining on pheasant under glass.
Pheasant under glass? Well, that's impossible. She told me she was too full to eat another hamburger.
Well, put yourself in her place, Mr. Harvey. Wouldn't you have said the same?
Sammy, I'm going to get dressed and go over to Miss Armstrong's house right now. And if he's still there, I'll...
Give her the benefit of every doubt, Mr. Harvey. Maybe he's her long-lost brother.
Well, that's very possible. But if he isn't, oh, brother. Tired, she said. Going to bed early. Looked straight at me when she said it. Well, this is where I... Wait a minute. There's a car in front of the house. Two people in it. A man and a woman. This is where we have a showdown, once and for all. Come out of there, you. I'm not giving this woman up without a struggle.
Why, Mr. Harvey, I didn't know you cared.
Patience.
And you know Officer Mullins, Mr. Harvey.
Yes, indeed. I was just passing by. I wanted to say hello. Hello. Well, I'll see you again. I don't seem to be getting anywhere fast. You wanted to see me, Susan?
Oh, sit down, George. George, you haven't been involved in any accidents lately, have you?
Accidents? No.
No severe bumps on the head?
Patients told you.
Why don't you have a specialist check you over, George? My doctor would be glad to recommend someone.
No, thank you.
But I'm really worried about you.
It seems to me, Susan, that some people had better do some worrying about themselves.
Meaning what?
Nothing. Nothing at all. But from now on, Susan, have a care, that's all. You are being watched.
Anyone I know?
In order to straighten things out, I'm taking over the job myself.
To straighten things out? George, are you sure you haven't been in an accident lately?
Duke, how long are we going to wait for that guy to go away?
I think he's waiting for the lights to go out so he can knock over the house himself, Frankie.
Dad, what's a few lights in the back of the house? How long's he going to wait? He's been watching the place like a Great Dane for an hour now.
You know, our field is getting overcrowded. Let's go over and talk a deal with him.
That's for me. Maybe we can flip for who breaks into the place.
Pardon me, friend.
Who are you?
Fellow practitioners. My partner and I wish to...
Those tools you're carrying. You're crooks.
What did you think we were? Rotarians? Now, my partner and I saw you watching the house here. Well and good. Everybody's got to make a living, but we...
You were going into that house?
Duke, a mind like a steel trap.
Honest face, too. But, friend...
Which one of you is the society burglar?
You know my work?
I know your work, all right. I know it a little too well.
I don't get it.
You get it, all right. But I must say, I thought she had better taste.
You understand anything he's saying, Frankie?
It's crackpots like this that give our profession a bad name. Ask him the question, Duke.
Friend, let's settle it. Who's going in the house? You or us?
We'll settle it, all right. We're both going in.
All of us?
Maybe he thinks this is a square dance.
Oh, what do we got to lose? We'll all go in. Come on.
Hey, where you going?
In the front door. Where do you think?
Duke.
And all these years, we've been going in the windows. Well, after you, friend.
Susan! What's the matter? You said you wanted to settle it, didn't you? Here, wait, I'll turn the lights on.
Friend, how long have you been in this business?
Well, isn't it a little late for a call, Joe? Oh. Who are your friends, George?
Don't play innocent with me, Susan. You know perfectly well who this is.
Who is it?
Don't look at us, lady. We just came here on business.
So you're going to try to brazen it out, are you? You never saw this man before, Susan, huh? The society burglar.
Never.
A likely story.
It sounds very likely to me.
George, don't you think you owe me an explanation, breaking in with these men this hour of the night?
I'm waiting for an explanation from you.
Would somebody mind explaining it to me?
You're denying, Susan, that you've been seen all over town with this man?
I most certainly do.
Ah, wait a minute. It's a triangle, Frankie.
Yeah, he looks more like a square to me.
George here thinks I've been running around with the lady. Right, George?
Well, yes.
Your wife isn't going to like this, Duke.
Please, Frankie. When have I been running around with the lady, George?
Well, every night, according to what I hear.
Really, George? I refuse to take any part in this ridiculous discussion.
Please, lady. Frankie, tell George what I do nights.
He works nights.
You see? I work nights.
You weren't at a nightclub with Miss Armstrong last night?
I haven't been to a nightclub in years. Can't afford it. They're crooked.
I hope you two gentlemen will make allowances for Mr. Harvey. He's just slightly eccentric.
But he means well. Don't you, George?
Susan.
All straightened out now, George?
Susan,
All right, George. We've been through worse than this, I think.
Come on, Frankie.
Susan, I don't know how I could have been foolish enough to think that, you know.
Are we leaving, Duke?
Sure. They'll get together all right.
But what about what we came for?
What we came for? Oh.
Sure, sure.
Nah. Shall we take a loss? Every once in a while, Frankie, you gotta do something for humanity.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in just a moment.
Say, Susan.
Yes, George.
I just got a call from police headquarters. They picked up Duke and Frankie.
No.
Yep.
My secret passion in jail.
Yeah. I went over that with Sammy. We finally figured out the... mysterious, handsome stranger you were seen with was me. Perfectly natural mistake, of course.
I'm not laughing, George.
Oh. Well, this whole thing has certainly been a good lesson to me, Susan. It really has.
This I doubt.
No, it has. From now on, no more listening to Sammy, no more suspicions, no more jealousy.
You mean that, George?
I certainly do.
You mean I can go out with anyone I like without making you jealous?
Well...
Because Elwood Bray's been calling me for weeks.
Elwood Bray? Susan, I absolutely forbid you to go anywhere with that... Well, of course, if you must, I guess I...
Don't change, George. It's too much of a strain. And besides, I'm so used to you the way you are.
You are? Well, anyway, I tried.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to join us then.
Please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
The Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show. Starring Irene Dunne as Susan and Fred McMurray as George. Together in the gay, new, exciting comedy adventure, Bright Star.
Yes, it's the Irene Dunne, Fred McMurray Show, starring, well, naturally, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, as Susan Armstrong and George Harvey, respectively. And as we join them in the offices of the Morning Star, we find Fred, George, I mean, talking with Sammy, the office boy.
Sammy?
Yes, Mr. Harvey?
Do you hear something outside which sounds like it might be a parade?
Mr. Harvey, I do.
That's funny. There can't be a parade today. I'd have known about it. No circus in town. It's not a holiday. No conventions. It can't be a parade.
You always know best, Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Sammy.
But you better tell the band about it, because 15 guys are blowing their brains out over nothing.
Well, let me take a look, Sammy. Huh. I guess it is a parade. And they're stopping right outside the office.
Well, they don't play good, but they sure play loud.
Where's Miss Armstrong, Sammy? Do you think she knows anything about this?
She's in her office, Mr. Harvey. If you're speaking today, why don't you ask her?
Miss Armstrong and I are always on the best of terms, Sammy. Always. And I shall ask her. Susan, do you know anything about those 15 lease breakers down in the street?
You mean the parade? Why, no, George. I have no idea what the occasion is.
Susan?
Yes, George?
Susan, I happen to know a political hack named McDonough has been looking for a candidate his party can back for mayor.
Really?
They haven't approached you, have they?
Well,
have they?
I would certainly not consider under any circumstances running for public office, George.
Well, that's a relief.
Except, of course, in answer to a genuine and spontaneous draft by my fellow citizens, which I could not in all conscience refuse.
No, Susan, you can't do this. You running for mayor? Well, the whole idea is ridiculous.
Miss Armstrong, it is a draft, my dear lady. I couldn't hold them back. A groundswell that I haven't seen in all my years in politics. Listen to them out there.
George, isn't it exciting? A draft.
A genuine and undeniable draft.
Well, there's enough wind here for it.
We must face it, Harvey. Your editor here has captured the imagination of the voting public of this town. A tide of public opinion is gathering. The incumbent has grown complacent and corrupt in public office. The coming storm of an aroused people will sweep him and his gang of jackals out of the city's highest office, replacing him with Miss Susan Armstrong.
McDonough. This incumbent you're asking our editor to sweep out, Tyler Hendricks. You realize this store buys about 20% of our total advertising every year?
I do. That is why I cannot urge you to accept the honor we offer, Miss Armstrong. I can only say our fair city needs women like you.
Susan.
Mr. McDonough, may I speak to them, the public?
Certainly. If you'll just step over to the window.
You're going to refuse, of course, Susan.
The people have spoken, George. It is they who deserve the answer.
The people? A few of McDonough's relatives and the tone-deaf 15?
If you will excuse us, Harvey.
My fellow citizens of Hillsdale.
That's a real tough audience.
Your emissary, John McDonough, has conveyed your very kind offer to support me for public office. I am truly and humbly grateful. I am flattered. But I cannot head the ticket of your party in the coming election.
Well, you've had me worried for a minute, Susan.
No one person can head the ticket. Indeed, no. But if each and every one of you will march along with me in a sincerely democratic movement, we will restore to our city the type of government it needs and deserves.
Miss Armstrong, may I be the first to shake the hand of our new mayor?
Why, thank you. George?
Better get on the bandwagon, Harvey. You might end up as the mayor's new secretary.
I'd rather die.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Miss Susan Armstrong, Reform Party candidate for mayor.
Bringing her big guns to bear on the Hendricks administration, Miss Susan Armstrong told an overflow audience at Helps Hall tonight that what this city needs is a woman who will clean house.
Extra, extra, Tyler Hendricks cancels advertising in Hillsdale Morning Star as a result of campaign. Extra, extra, extra.
And so I say to you, fellow citizens, it is later than you think. Either we stem now the tide of corruption and inefficiency in the government of our fair city, or we struggle along forever in its noxious flow, seeking to forget in our misery that we had been offered the helping hand of one who was capable of returning Hillsdale to the place of honor it occupied in time of our forefathers. Miss Susan Armstrong!
Well, how's the campaign look to you, Mr. Harvey?
Terrible. I think she might win.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Harvey. I don't think Miss Armstrong being elected will change things between you at all.
Thanks.
She might even marry you. Then you won't have to argue so much.
Well, that's a thought.
And think of the satisfaction, Mr. Harvey, of being a silent contributor to the welfare of our city.
Sammy.
Well, the world sees only the efficient, tireless mayor. You and I will know, Mr. Harvey, that there is one who is always ready with a quick smile and a cheery word when things aren't going right at City Hall. One who keeps himself in the background ever. But she and she alone knows.
Sammy, haven't you some place to go, like the home for delinquents?
I was just trying to look on the bright side of things, Mr. Harvey.
Well, thanks very much.
It was nothing.
George Harvey, first lady of our city. I think I'll join the Foreign Legion.
Your Honor.
Will you take my things, Patience?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a million and one things to do. Phone calls, speeches to write, publicity to read over, and... Oh, yes, George is dropping by later.
For dinner, Miss Armstrong?
No, later. I don't have the time. And you can just give me a quick bite on the run.
You run by, and I'll bite you.
What?
Just a small, non-political joke. How is George? He must be getting thin since the campaign started.
George? Oh, he's about the same, I guess, Patience. Have I been neglecting George? Yes, I guess I have. Well, I'll be more than usually nice to him tonight. I'll see to it that we have the whole evening to ourselves. The entire evening. That is, after he writes one or two speeches for me.
That's a romantic setting. An ink-stained Romeo.
Oh, dear, I totally forgot. Mr. McDonough's dropping in later, too. You think George will mind?
Well, no, not at all. It's just like having a blind date with Siamese twins, that's all.
Patience, I almost hope I don't get elected.
If you're trying to lose George's vote, I think you've made it.
Good evening, Patience. Is the Lord High Mayor of Hillsdale in residence?
She's receiving delegates of the common people in the living room, Mr. Harvey.
What's happened to this house, Patience? It's different. It doesn't even smell the same anymore.
It's the lack of cooking. My duties are confined chiefly to opening sardine cans.
It's a tough election.
Mr. Harvey, Miss Armstrong.
Thank you, Patience. George, how nice of you to come.
Nobody fights City Hall.
Sit down, George. Sit down there. Oh, it's been so long since we've really talked.
Hasn't it?
Wonderful weather.
Yeah. Terrific. If you like weather.
Seen any shows lately?
No.
Well,
I know you're busy, Mrs. Mayor, and I won't impose on your...
George, sit down. No, don't sit over there again. Sit here by me.
Well, just for a minute.
A minute? George, don't you realize I planned this whole evening just so the two of us could have it together?
You did. But what about the speeches you wanted me to write?
Oh, forget about the speeches. Why should we spend the whole evening writing speeches?
Susan, you're so right.
Yeah, it's much better.
You don't know what a pleasure it is to be able to talk to you without elbowing aside 24 ward healers.
Really?
And honest John McDonough. And when I think of the gall of McDonough's so-called Reform Party asking you to save their chestnuts...
George.
Oh. You're right, Susan. I won't say another word. You sure you got enough room on this sofa?
Plenty. Am I crowding you?
Crowding me.
Oh, this is nice, isn't it?
You know, Susan, you're too beautiful to be a mayor.
Oh, George.
That's true. Nobody's going to be able to keep their minds on their work. I can hardly keep my mind on what I'm saying right now.
You don't have to say anything, George.
That's what I was working up to.
Oh, George.
Susan.
Well,
Hope I'm not interrupting anything, folks.
No, no, McDonough. You're just what the party needs.
Patience, let me in. I hope I'm not late, Miss Armstrong.
Late? Susan, I thought you said...
Well, do we have much business to go over, Mr. McDonough?
Not much. But you can't blame me for dragging it out as long as possible, Miss Susan.
Melonhead.
Huh?
George just said, go right ahead, Mr. McDonough.
Oh, just a few minor matters of business we have to get your okay on, Miss Susan. Yes, here we are. So minor, I'd almost forgotten what they were. Ready?
Sure. I left my wallet at home.
George... Yes, go ahead, Mr. McDonough.
Now, for Sheriff, the Reform Party candidate's been forced to drop out because of ill health. But at this late date, we were very fortunate in getting a Jim Dandy replacement and veteran police officer, Honest Phil Waltman.
Honest Phil Waltman? Him? Well, they had to promote him from pounding a beat because he was stealing the sidewalks.
Please, George. I'm sure that the leaders of the Reform Party would not suggest anyone they're not absolutely sure of.
Well, they're sure of him, all right.
I thank you for your confidence, dear lady. Just one more minor matter. Our candidate for city treasurer has also been forced to drop out. Ill health.
Sounds like an epidemic.
But in his place, we have, after a great deal of persuasion, secured a really outstanding man in the field of clean government. Honest Jack Stewart.
No. For city treasurer? Well, that's like leaving a hungry Great Dane alone in a butcher shop.
George, do you have anything concrete against either one of these men?
Well, concrete? No. They're both very intelligent men. They've never been caught.
Oh, Miss Armstrong, sure. I can assure you that the screening board of the Reform Party has gone through the past life of each of these men with a fine-tooth comb. Of course, if you would prefer to listen to unfounded rumors...
Susan, I positively forbid you to run on the same slate with either of these crooks.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Mr. McDonough, you can tell the party leaders that I have the utmost faith in their judgments.
Someday I'm going to learn to keep my big mouth shut.
Now, back to our two stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, and the second act of our story. As we join them, we find that the situation is, well, shall we say, a bit tense.
Good morning, Mr. Harvey. Pleasant evening at the home of our future mayor.
Certainly, Sammy. A thoroughly pleasant disaster. Miss Armstrong come in yet?
Not yet.
Well, let me know when she... Oh, here she is. Susan...
Good morning, Sammy.
Hi, Miss Armstrong.
Morning, George.
Susan, I've been thinking your last night over. I've decided that I was wrong.
Well, I might have been in the wrong myself, George, but we can talk it out.
No, I was wrong. First, I decided that if you were bullheaded enough to accept those two crooks on your ticket, I'd let you do it. But then I saw that I have a duty to this city which overrides mere personalities.
Indeed.
And you being a reasonable person, Susan, I was sure that after you'd slept on it, you'd come around to my way of thinking.
Well, Sammy... Will you inform Mr. Harvey that his opinions on the political scene are of interest to no one but himself?
Sure. Mr. Harvey, Miss Armstrong says that you're...
Sammy, will you point out to Miss Armstrong that running for political office is just a little more complicated than buying a new hat? And that it takes someone of experience to see what these crooks on her side are up to?
Be glad to. Miss
Sammy,
Armstrong...
will you make it clear to Mr. Harvey that it's after 9 o'clock and that his duties on this paper, which start every morning promptly at that hour, do not include the position of political editor? I shall be in my office.
Mr. Harvey, Miss Armstrong says...
I heard her, Sammy. And Sammy, I am going to rescue Miss Armstrong from the consequences of her folly, whether she wants to be rescued or not. Tell that to Miss Armstrong.
You know, I feel just like a carrier pigeon. Mr. Harvey...
Quiet, Sammy.
Mr. Harvey, I just thought, couldn't we be put in jail for this?
We are serving our country, Sammy. We have to get some information on McDonough and those two other crooks. The place to look for it is the Reform Party headquarters.
You convinced me, but can you convince a judge?
Quiet. Here we are. Hand me that skeleton key, Sammy. There. Now you wait outside here, Sammy. If anybody comes, whistle.
If anybody comes, whistle. Good luck, Mr. Harvey.
Thanks. I see a light switch here someplace. There, got it. And let's see. File cabinet over here.
Wonder what I should look under. G for graft. Nothing here. Nothing here. Nothing here.
Looking for something?
Huh? No. No, I was just browsing. Sammy.
Isn't it a late hour for browsers?
Well, insomnia.
I'm Mr. McDonough's secretary.
Oh?
Who are you? A spy?
Why, no, not that at all. As a matter of fact, I'm a... Send for the police. I'm a spy.
And I'm Gloria.
Oh, glad to know you, Gloria. I'm George.
George.
Yes?
I suppose you're going to compel me to give you the information you want.
Huh?
Force it out of me.
Force it out of you?
I'm helpless. You're strong, virile, fiercely determined. And we're alone together.
We are?
You gorgeous, magnificent brute, you.
It's nothing, really.
I can't withstand you another minute. All the confidential records are in the top left drawer of Mr. McDonald's desk. There. I've told. But I couldn't help myself.
Say, they are here. Gloria, won't you get in trouble about this?
Trouble? McDonald fired me today. I just came down tonight to clean out my desk and steal carbon paper.
Oh.
But you were very masterful, George.
I was? Say, didn't the kid outside whistle when you came in here?
He sure did. Where do kids that age learn to whistle like that? Hello?
Susan, this is George. Susan, I've got this...
George, what time is it?
It's a little after midnight.
Well, I'm sorry, George, but I don't want to come to any party. You tell me about it tomorrow.
Susan, wait.
Yes?
I've just dug up the confidential records on McDonough and all the rest of his gang. You've got to withdraw as their candidate, Susan. You've got to go over to McDonough's house tonight.
Are you serious, George?
Wait till you see the stuff I've got on.
Really?
Really. I'll meet you outside of McDonough's place in half an hour.
All right, George. You won't say I told you so. I just couldn't stand it if you did.
Only once. I told you so. I'll see you in a half hour.
Well, these are very serious charges, young lady. Very serious charges so close to an election.
I have the documentation right here to back up the charges, Mr. McDonough.
So you have. And what do you propose to do now?
I'm withdrawing from the race tomorrow. And I'm giving full publicity to your record in my paper.
Miss Susan, I think the Reform Party can be persuaded through my influence to allow you to withdraw without prejudice.
Allow me? Oh, that's very kind of them.
Fortunately, we have another candidate available. A man well known for his past service to the community and for his rock-bound incorruptibility. Me.
And just how many votes do you think you'll get after I expose your record?
Miss Susan... You are an unfortunate captive of your own high convictions. When you entered this race, your opponent canceled his advertising in your paper. Your sacrifice for the community good was widely applauded. If you withdraw now and turn against your own party, the citizens of this fair city can only conclude that a sordid deal was made between you and your opponent.
But you
don't...
So
as I say, we will allow you to withdraw in my favor. When duty calls, honest John McDonough was never one to withhold himself. Perhaps a speech, election eve, in my favor might be a touching gesture.
Never.
Yes, I think it would almost be a necessity. Otherwise, an entirely unfortunate smear campaign against you would have to be set in progress. Also, against your paper. There would be nothing I would regret more deeply.
Well, I'll have to talk it over with Mr. Harvey. He's waiting outside.
I regret also that you will have to keep this conversation between us a secret, as a security measure. Good night, Miss Susan, and thank you for coming. I'm sure you would have made a most excellent mayor.
Susan Armstrong withdraws from race. McDonough, new Reform Party choice. Extra, read all about it.
And on this election eve, the big topic of conversation is newspaper editor Susan Armstrong's sudden and unexplained withdrawal from the morality race.
Much speculation exists as to whether Miss Armstrong will appear on the platform tonight to champion the cause of the new candidate, veteran politician Honest John McDonough.
Extra! Susan Armstrong is a Fort McDonough. Speaks tonight at election rally. Read all about it.
Is my dress all right, Patience? Not too extreme for a public gathering.
There's nothing wrong with the dress, Miss Armstrong.
But you're not so sure about me.
You're not really going to make a speech tonight in favor of McDonough, are you?
The Reform Party can't count on your vote, Patience?
The Reform Party? The Reform School Party? Miss Armstrong, it's entirely against my principles, but this time I'm siding with George.
And you don't trust me to do what's best for the town or the newspaper?
Of course I do. I just wish you'd do something else, that's all.
You mean you're not coming to the rally?
No. Oh, fool that I am, I'll most likely be there.
Thank you, Patience.
Don't thank me. Just don't make me wish I hadn't come.
Big crowd, huh, Mr. Harvey?
Yeah, I wish it wasn't so big.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Harvey. I'm sure whatever Miss Armstrong does will be for the best.
Thank you, boy philosopher.
And now, citizens of our fair city of Hillsdale, crown jewel in the diadem of Marmoset County. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the little lady who stepped aside in order to make way for a more experienced hand on the tiller. As the new candidate of the Reform Party, I commend to your attention our former standard bearer, Miss Susan Armstrong.
Gee, she's really going to talk, Mr. Harvey.
Yeah, I'm afraid she is, Sammy.
My friends of Hillsdale, there has been considerable speculation as to why I removed myself as a candidate for mayor and as to whether I would tonight endorse the candidacy of Honest John McDonough. To answer your doubts, I do endorse Mr. McDonough.
Let's go home, Sammy.
I'm with you, Mr. Harvey.
My reasons why Mr. McDonough would make a much better mayor than I could hope to be are many. I shall name a few. As befits a public official, Honest John is thrifty. Out of his alderman's salary of $2,000 a year, I happen to know that he has in the past 5 years saved over $200,000.
Hey, stop that, Dave.
Let her talk.
Mr. McDonough is loyal. 23 members of his immediate family are on the city payroll, 14 of whom have been dead from 6 to 20 years.
Hey, Mike, Frankie, get the dame away from the microphone. She's killing us. Let me at her.
Stay right here, friend. Oh. I want you to hear the rest of this. Give it to him, Susan.
You tell him, Susan. To continue, Mr. McDonough is the greatest vote getter in the history of this or any other city. In the last election held in his district, out of a total of 3,000 registered voters, McDonough polled over 4,000 votes. And so I ask you with these facts in mind when you go to the polls tomorrow, who is your choice for mayor, McDonough or Hendricks?
Hey, let me through here. Pardon me. Susan.
George. Oh, George, was I all right, George?
All right, you were wonderful. You were terrific. McDonough hasn't got a chance.
You think it was a surprise?
Surprise? Was it? Well, nobody in the whole city expected anything like... Well, nobody but me, of course. I knew it all the time. Hey, come on, let's get out of here.
Our stars, Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray, will be back in a moment.
George?
Yes, Susan?
Final election results in?
I'm just finishing my story. Hendricks in a landslide.
Well, he's stuffy, but I'm sure he's honest.
An ideal mayor.
You don't think I would have made a good mayor?
No, of course, Susan. It's just that, well...
It's just what?
Well, that every time a new beauty queen is crowned, the mayor is supposed to have his picture taken kissing her. You'd have to admit you look pretty silly.
Yes, that's true. But, George...
Hmm?
Just imagine the Navy coming to town.
You know, I'm glad you didn't win.
Irene Dunne and Fred McMurray will be back next week in another exciting comedy adventure in the gay new series, Bright Star. This is Harry Von Zell inviting you to join us then.
Thank you again for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.